get out of here early tonight anyway.
Really, yeah. You've done in your life everything I probably would have loved to have done as a kid. 3 weeks ago, I was mentioning to you earlier, I interviewed Tim McNamara, 93-year-old ball player with the Braves. He kept on getting back, talking about today it's a business. He would have played for nothing. Would you have felt the same way?
Well, you had to eat, so you had to get paid. You know, you talked about my age. Charlie Wagner was 76. He's been in the organization. He's the oldest member in the Red Sox. He's 76, Charlie Wagner. Never been with any other organization. Eddie Petoskey the same way. Mace Brown another. And I'm in that category with Eddie Kenny. Eddie Kenny Sr., who just retired because of illness of some sort. You know, he had a slight stroke, but he's all right. And I'm in that category because we're the oldest living members of the Red Sox. And the girl at the switchboard at Fenway, Helen Robinson, she's going into her 53rd or 4th year, and she's still bright and takes care of things, knows where things are. You want to find out anything, you call her. She finds it out because she's great. But Charlie Wagner, I think, is the oldest living member of the Red Sox.
That's interesting. With the contracts, salaries escalating the way they are due to fantastic TV, radio revenues, whatever, this boom that's going on in professional sports, do you see it continuing, or do you eventually see a bust coming about?
Well, Peter, I wish I could answer that, but I think when the TV rates come down, salaries will have to come down. Otherwise, ball clubs won't be able to operate. When you're a nut to crack is over $30 million, you got to draw well, you got television, you got national television that you get from CBS or ABC or NBC, whatever, plus local TV, you got local radio, plus whether concessions come into that or not, I do not know. And that's a big thing. But I just think these salaries are enormous. And the players, good luck to them. I mean, if the owner wanted to give them, you got your good. Bobby Bonilla 5 years ago was an extra player. Got to play, became a star, and there's other players think that they're just as good as Bonilla. They're going to ask for the same money. Maybe it may not be there when they're ready to get it. It's like we're in a recession now. Look at, 6 months ago, how good real estate was. Now you can buy a house practically for half of what they're asking. And you've got to be true to yourself, Peter. And to thine own self be true. Loyalty, there's no such thing as loyalty anymore. First place, you got a different type of ownership. Ownership wants you to be loyal to them. But sometimes ownership is not loyal to the player. I mean, you see that. But it's, and I can understand. If I was a player and I'm paying him a lot of money and he's not giving me what I want, I'm not going to show him any loyalty. And if he has a good year and he plays X amount of years and he wants to leave because the guy across the street's going to give him an extra $500,000 or even $100,000, well, I've played for this guy for all these years. But you see, you very rarely see a guy with a ball club for 15, 16, 17 years. That's out. You might. I bet you Clemens, I think Boggs would like to stay here. But Boggs is a very good player, and I hope the ball club understands what he means to that team. I mean, if it was me to give, I'd give it to Boggs. I would give it to Clemens. I'd give Clemens anything he wanted. That's what I think of him.
Okay. We play in Fenway Park.
Huh?
We play in Fenway Park, one of the oldest stadiums still in the country, if not the oldest. What do you think is in the future for Fenway? How much longer do you think the Red Sox can play there, especially with escalating salaries? How much do you think the spectator is willing to pay to go in to see a game? We've got to be reaching the saturation point right now. $100 for a family of four to go. What is the future for Fenway?
I wish, Peter, I wish I could answer that. I hope it stays the same. The salaries are, right now, if it stays like this, I think they could handle it. It's a very beautiful ballpark. The fans are great. And there were years when they didn't draw $1.5 million, $2 million, $2.5 million. But see, it's a small ballpark, and all the new stadiums, 55 and up, and every new stadium is built for football. You know, that's the thing. Look at what they did at Anaheim, beautiful ballpark. Now they put it, you know, they rounded it out. Now it's for football. That's what I don't like. What if it's if that's progress, then what can you do about it? The people demand it. And if the people want to keep paying these prices for tickets and so forth, they're going to keep doing it. But let them have a couple of bad years and see what happens. And the bills pile up, and sometimes you can't read it. If things were to stay this way, there's a two or three ball clubs in baseball that could go bankrupt. They say no, but they could. There's one. Seattle could be one of them. Cleveland could be another. I just hope it doesn't happen. That's all. You know, just. But I hope the players can realize and ownership understands this, and the agents under. They think every time they present a ball player to a ball club that he's the next coming of Babe Ruth or Ted Williams or Lefty Grove. It just isn't that way.
Okay, I'm going to let you get going pretty soon because we may be getting a storm. I one or two last questions. When I go to Fenway Park and you're out in short right field hitting fun goes to the ball players, you always finish up with the catcher. And you must take that fungo that's wrapped up with tape, whatever. I don't even know how old that bat is. It's a new one every year, okay. But the one to the catcher, I'm always amazed. It goes up about 150 feet and comes straight down. How are you able to do that?
Peter, I've been doing that since I was 10, 12 years old, hanging around the ballpark. We used to have a young catcher out there. And you watch guys do it. You ought to see Richie Hebner hit a pop-up. He's 100 feet higher than I hit him. And but it's a practice, and I practiced it as a kid. See, the years we were growing up, we didn't have television, we didn't have radio, we didn't have automobiles. We had to go by either bus or streetcar. And this way, we were on the field a lot. We'd start, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, we were on the field at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, play all day. Get tired, go home, even you'd miss lunch. You'd get you have some breakfast, a couple of eggs or oatmeal or cornflakes, whatever. And that's what it was. And then, of course, now the kids, and we were raised, we were playing after the Depression. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people don't understand that. You know, the kids today, they don't even know, if you took a survey of all the ball players, they couldn't tell you who Ted Williams was. Joe DiMaggio.
I wanted to end this, but you just brought something up. I was the same way. I was out every day playing 8, 9 o'clock in the morning constantly. What do you mean, what couldn't I do?
How was your development? You must have had a medal somewhere along the line. Could you run?
I could run.
What did you play?
I'm a left-hander. I was a first baseman. I love the game. I still do. I collect baseball memorabilia. I've got a Ted Williams corner in my house. But getting back to the kids, being a gym teacher, the elementary level, I never see the kids out in the fields playing ball anymore. I was involved with the league. I coached. I coached my son. I coached my daughter. She played Little League. But if they don't have the new ball, the new bat, the $100 glove, the best of this, the new uniforms, they don't seem to want to play. I remember when I was second, third grade in school, I got a dollar last day of school to go out and buy a new baseball. We'd tear the cover off of it, we'd tape it, and we'd cause it. We didn't care how we played. We were out playing ball. We didn't need 18 people to play. We'd play, you know, you're out if you hit to right field. I'm sure you did all this stuff also.
what the best 75 times is going to be. O'clock, we played till 3, went to, we used half the field. You get four guys on one side, four on the other, you use half the field. You hit the ball, if you hit it, say you're left-handed hitter, if you hit the ball left field, it was an out. But you had five outs in those times. We used to do that with the, I used to do that with the pitchers in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Why do you think it is that the kids today won't go out and play if they don't have the best of equipment? If I don't have the best, I'm not going to play. You know, I can't understand it. There's so much fun to be had on a ball field. I don't know if it's because they're into Nintendo or they're given everything by their parents, and I can't figure it out. And the guys I teach with, they can't figure it out either. I don't know.
Well, because the parents have the money to buy it. The equipment is so much better now, Peter. Everything is better.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. And you've got to go along. You have to accept it. I'm sure if my parents could have afforded it, they'd have given it. But in those years, the gloves, you look at some of the gloves in those years we had. They were little gloves, and we were lucky to get the thing in shape where we could handle it. Now the gloves are so good, they break in easier. Mm-hmm. The shoes are much nicer. We used to have to buy our own shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, you bought two pair a year, and we hope they kept for the year. And then that's just the way it is. I'm sure if my son was not an athlete, he never professed to be, and I never pushed him. But he became a student, and he got his degree out of UMass, and that's all I cared about. I don't believe if a kid wants to do something, I believe in letting him do it. If he likes a sport, and if I can afford to buy him the best equipment, I would. Sometimes you can take a loan out at the bank.
What do you think of Little League?
I kind of like it.
You don't think that there's too much emphasis put on winning, not skill development, sitting up watching the parents scream at their kids, they put too much pressure on them? I personally think it takes some of the fun out of the game for some of the kids. And I was involved. I was on the board of directors of Little League. I got into a few arguments with coaches and managers. It just didn't seem like the game was really that much fun. I described Little League, the worst thing about Little League was parents and adults were involved with it. I felt that the kids could solve their own problems.
Very good. That's the trouble with parents. They want the kids to be at a professional level, and it isn't. Let the kids have some fun. Now I think they got rules in that each kid has to play so many innings, which is good. See, those years that I grew up, we didn't have that. We had CYO ball, and we had American Legion. Yeah, I played American Legion for, in fact, I played when I was in the eighth grade with an American Legion team. But we didn't worry about things. If we got a glove, we worked on it and worked on it and spread it out, took out the padding and worked, you know, just, but we played, you know, it wasn't, you know, we were lucky that we always had pretty good teams and we mostly won. I was in that semi-pro tournament in Wichita, Kansas in 38 and 39 as a 17, 18 year older. And that was good. That was good baseball. Because there were a lot of guys who came down, who, you know, were let go by professional teams who could still play a little bit. And like that, they thought they could still play, and they played semi-pro ball, and a lot of those fellows got good jobs. Say you went worked for a mill team, well, they'd get four or five of those older guys and then bring in all the... In 1938, we had a catcher who was 32 years old and an outfielder who was 28. And the rest of us were from 17 to 19, 20 maybe.
Yeah.
And then, well, Dick Whitman was on that club in 39 in Silverton, Oregon. He was with he designed with the Dodgers, played with the Dodgers and the Phillies. So it's there. It's all depends. But sometimes parents can be a detriment. I have a very good friend of mine who's... His son was a little kid, and this is Little League, and he's down there coaching him, and finally his wife is sitting up at the back of the stand, sends his daughter down, says, Mama, tell told me to tell you to keep your big fat mouth shut. And there's a lot to that. You have coaches for that. And if a kid is asked to do something, let him do it. He's not going to do it perfectly. And you've got to understand that. It's like a good student and a bad student. Some guys can play, some guys can't. There's no shortcut.
Okay, in closing, I really don't know how to end this. I'm just having a ball doing this.
I've given you an hour, so, yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Mary Jo.
You know, it's really neat for me to sit here with someone who... Rhode Island. No. I went to the first couple that they had, and I got into officiating high school football. So my Saturdays are tied up right now. And if they have one in March, which I hope they do instead of April, I get tied up with umpiring high school softball in April. And they're fun to go to.
The Sabre people were just outstanding. They were talking about guys that... What about Vader Pinson? I'm just trying to remember who else I was. It was in November when I was down there. And, it was amazing. You had quite a group. We were talking about guys that I even read about. Mm-hmm. There was one fellow up there talking about two teams in Pennsylvania. One team was in the league was so bad they had to drop them. We're getting beat 29-2 and 31-4 and stuff like that. Not being around that, but all we talked was baseball. You know, it was just great. It's something that any guy who has any interest, it's a good thing to get involved in, I guess. There's a guy up in Peabody, Mass that called me, he was just great. He picked me up, he and his wife, and we went down to Rhode Island, and I had a ball.
I have been asked